Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
All right, are you ready to get into the message this morning? Amen. Thank you for being here. We thank you that you are always ready to receive. And I believe that God has something for us to lean into this morning. If you recall, my wife said to us, or said that just through just her time in fellowshipping with the Lord, she said, the Lord said to her that we've taken a turn. Again, not heading this direction, but we're heading a new direction. And in this new direction, this is what the Lord said to me, that in this new place, there is a new grace. I said, in this new place, there's a new grace. What's grace? Grace, by definition, is this, is God's ability to do in and through you what you cannot do in and of yourself. It's the empowerment of God in you. Praise God. So in other words, God built you for more. God designed it for you to experience more of Him. In fact, we should experience heaven on earth. We shouldn't get to heaven and say, wow, this is surprising. We ought to get to heaven and say, boy, this is so familiar. I've lived this. I've experienced this. I know this. Why? Because we've experienced God's presence and God's purpose and God's plan and really heaven on earth. And so we said that we've stepped into a new place of grace, meaning that there is an empowerment in this season to do what we've not been able to do thus far. Amen. So I'm going to continue along with that message. But today I want my message to be called this, that grace, part two, is grace is calling. Come on, say it with me. Say, grace is calling me. Grace is calling me. Turn to your neighbor and say, grace is calling you. That means that there's something that God is saying, I need you for and I need you to do. And I've given you an empowerment to do and be exactly what I've commissioned you to do. Amen. Grace is calling. Now, we said that in regards to that, or this grace or this new place was really in conjunction with and partnership with the Living Faith Conference that we had. That we've invited ministers or a ministry that came in. And whenever you have or invite a ministry of a higher caliber or a greater anointing, they will help take the church to a higher place. They'll help take you as an individual to a greater place of knowing if you'll avail yourself to it. And so with that being said, I want to bring your attention to Romans chapter 1, verse 11, because it makes brings reference to that and it gives a little clarity. But in the Amplified, it says this. It says, for I long to see you that I might share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen and establish you. Notice the Apostle Paul says, I long to see your face. So in other words, in order to see your face means that he's looking to see you eyeball to eyeball, right? In close enough proximity that he can look at you. I long to see your face that I might impart spiritual gift and so that you will be established and strengthened. Praise God. So in other words, there is something that is being deposited to cause you to be stable, to be steadfast, and to be strengthened by what is being delivered. Amen. Now another translation says it this way. He says, for I long to visit you so that I can impart to you the faith that will help your church grow strong in the Lord. And another translation says this, for I desire to see you to impart somewhat to you spiritual grace that I give to you something of spiritual grace that you be confirmed. So notice what he said. It says that this gift that I'm bringing is grace. Or an endowment of power to help you be strong, to be steadfast, to be confirmed, or to be established. Amen. So in other words, there's something to help us come up higher, to come to a higher place, to walk with God on a deeper level. How many of you know that grace is calling us to come up? But grace is really the voice of God saying, I need you to come up higher. I desire for you to come up here, and I've empowered you to do it. How many of you can relate to say, you know what? This Christian life is not for the faint of heart. Right? I mean, you got to be strong, don't you? I mean, and sometimes, I mean, when you're walking with Jesus, sometimes you're just like, God, this isn't what I signed up for. Well, it takes a strong countenance and constitution to walk with Jesus. But he says, you've got the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And what is that strength? That strength is the grace or the empowerment of God to do what you cannot do in and of yourself. There's help. Help was on the way, and help has been delivered for us to go to a new place. Amen? So it's a spiritual supply. It's not natural. So if it's a spiritual supply, then how many of you would agree that it's going to take faith to operate in this new grace? It's given to do something that we haven't done before. So therefore, it's going to take wisdom or understanding. And to gain in wisdom and understanding, that's going to take faith as well. And then it's also going to take faith, because we're going to be tempted to say it can't be done. I said we'll be tempted to say it's just not possible. It's too hard. It can't be done. And how many of you know it will take faith to arise to the occasion, arise to what God's asked us to do, because we've been empowered and graced to do it. Look what it says in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Once again, notice it says, work hard, or one translation says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work hard. I said, work hard. Well, grace empowers you to not have to work hard in the arm of the flesh. But how many of you know when it comes to salvation, there is a package that you receive when you receive salvation. Meaning there's deliverance, there's protection, there's wisdom, there's provision, there's prosperity, there's health, there's healing. There is a package of salvation, right? But once you agree that even though I receive this package of salvation, it's progressive in my operation of it, right? I mean, there's more to this package, and we don't just naturally have all this wisdom and understanding concerning what salvation has. In fact, so many people that have been in church for 80 years, 60 years, 40 years, they think that in salvation, it's my ticket to heaven, and thank God that it is. But there is more to the inheritance and the package of salvation, right? And so it is a progressive work of understanding what belongs to us. Salvation is our inheritance, but it's also received by having wisdom and maturity in this package of salvation that we have, right? It takes an empowerment for us to function in it. And without maturing in it, how many of you know that you can get yourself in trouble? Anything without wisdom or knowledge of how to operate or use something can get you in trouble. You know, this was probably 2 years ago. Now, if you're one of those individuals that say, I don't like guns, listen, I understand. I'm a gun guy, okay? That's just me. I'm a hunter. That's just me. But, you know, I would rather that my children be wise in understanding of how to treat a firearm with wisdom and knowledge and common sense, right? And so I sat all my children down at the table, and I brought every single gun out and sat it on the table. There was no ammunition in it, but I said, now listen, I want you to handle this. I want you to feel it. And I said, and this is how you operate this one. This is how you do this, and this is how you do that. This is the safety. This is the trigger. This is the hammer. I went through and shared the knowledge of what a fire firearm was to be used for and how its functioning operation was, so that they had wisdom to be safe, right? Without the wisdom of how to use a firearm, they could pick it up and harm themselves if they were not given the right wisdom of understanding of the empowerment that was in their hand, right? So we need to be wise. We need to mature. We need to grow in understanding. But to, again, help us understand concerning the power or the empowerment of grace, let me give you an example, if you will, just to kind of help you, I guess, see the picture. I said that in regards to grace, grace is calling us to come up, or grace is calling. Grace is calling us to have a deeper walk with God, of knowing Him, of cooperating with Him. But you've got to know that there is an empowerment or power available to participate with. So a couple years ago, I went hunting. I went with some minister friends. I went up towards Cadillac and I took our travel trailer. And in going there, I bought this little generator. I kind of talked about this a couple weeks ago in regards to the operation of a generator. But this little generator was small. And it was real quiet. And I thought, man, this is going to be perfect for hunting. It won't be loud and obnoxious. And if you've got one of those, you know what I'm talking about. It'll be quiet. And so I plugged it in. And I got there late in the night, so I needed to turn on the heater. And so the lights were on. The stove was on. I kicked the heat on and the heater came on. And everything was going well and the generator was going. Now, the next day as I got up, well, the day started getting warmer. And now I'm sitting there in the camper and I'm wanting to turn on the air conditioner because now it's starting to heat up in there. I don't need the furnace anymore. I need the air conditioner. But now the air conditioner requires more power than what the furnace did. And so when I went to turn on the air conditioner, it threw the breaker of my generator. And I thought, what in the world's going on? And I tried it again, and it blew out the circuit of the generator again. Well, what I come to find out is it takes more power to run the air conditioner than it does the furnace. The little generator that I had, the power that I had or that it produced, could turn on the furnace, but not the air conditioner. So my quality of life was determined by the amount of power that was available. Are you tracking? All right. So God is calling us to a higher place. Grace is calling us up so that we live at a higher quality of the Christian life, experiencing the package of salvation. But there is an empowerment that He has deposited, and that is to help the quality of life. But if you don't partake of that power or know that it's available, you can stay right here where the quality of life is not what you want it to be. And you're thinking, dear God, I wish it was a little bit better. I wish it wasn't so hot. I wish it was a little bit easier. And God says there is an empowerment for the quality of life. You just got to tap into it. Amen? There is a grace that is available that God is calling us up higher. And once again, that's where the church is today. Not just our church, the church universal. God's saying it's time to come up. I'm coming very soon. Remember, the scripture says I'm coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. I'm coming back for a glorious church. That's a church full of power. Not a church that's defeated. Not a church that's beat up. Not a church that's just barely getting by. Amen. It's a church operating in the graces and the power that God has made available. Amen. Now, this is just a side thought. But you say, well, you always say, Pastor, that Jesus is coming back. Well, in regards to Scripture, this war that's going on in Israel right now, it very well could be, and it has been said, that this is the last war that the earth will know before the coming of the Lord. The Ezekiel 38 war that we know of, that's after the church goes home. So we are close. I said we are very close. Jesus is getting ready to come. So you can be distracted by all the things in life and be miserable because you're saying that my spirit says I want a greater quality of life walking with Jesus, but I'm over here and I'm over here and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And God says, I'm coming soon. Get ready. Lean into the grace and do what I've called you to do. Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I want to be about the Father's business where he says, oh, come on, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. How about you? Amen. I said grace is calling us to a deeper walk with God. Notice what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 11. The Apostle Paul says this. The Apostle Paul was the same one that says, I long to see your face that I might impart some grace. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Notice he makes a comparison. He says, now, there's a place of maturity. He said, but now, there was a place in my life where I was like a child. In regards to a child, he says, I thought like a child. I understood like a child. I spoke like a child. But now, I'm maturing. So let's just break that down for just a moment in regards to the empowerment or the grace that God is making available. So number one, he says this. He says, I thought as a child. So as a believer, remember I said that there is more to this salvation package than us just going to heaven. There's more for us to experience and enjoy quality of life. And so if our thinking is as a child, think about it from this perspective. That my thinking is really from my personal perspective or advantage. My thinking or my thoughts oftentimes are selfish. My thinking and my thoughts are from a position of entitlement. Now, let's broaden the scope. If it's selfish, if it's entitlement, if it's always looking at me, then oftentimes what that creates is an environment for poverty. Or an impoverished thinking. Now, when I say impoverished, I'm not just talking money or monetarily. Impoverished thinking is there's not enough. There's not enough. It's all about me. I'm entitled. What about me? But God says there is a grace that will take you beyond you, and there's more than enough. It's not just all about you and your most wonderful self. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Amen. Are you here this morning? Amen. Randy says, I got to turn around and say that. I can't look to my wife and say that. I saw that over there. I like it. You smart man. Amen. So think about it. The gospel message, it is not a weak gospel. Let me say that again. The gospel message is the message of good news, but it is not a weak gospel. It is a strong man's gospel. Amen? If you're an individual that is going to follow Christ, you're going to have some fortitude. You're going to have some strength. You're going to have some grace for you to walk in that which God has called you to. But you will have to yield to the grace that God has made available. If you'll yield to the grace or that empowerment, it will lift you up, it will lift you out, and you can live above the barrel rather than beneath the barrel. Amen? Come on, how many of you understand what I'm saying? In fact, let me just take it a little bit further. If you don't get out from underneath the barrel, you'll live the life of a victim all your life. And I don't say that to be condescending. I'm saying if you don't learn how to live and yield to the grace of God, you'll be a victim to life circumstances. And God says, you're not a victim, you're a victor. I've already paid the price. Amen? And if you didn't know it, the cost of salvation was costly. I know we oftentimes say this. We say, you know what? The gospel is free. Well, for us to receive, it is free. He said it's a free gift. But the gift of salvation was not purchased for free. It was a great cost. Are you here this morning? I said it was a great cost that made available all that salvation has for us, and the grace of God made it available for us to walk in. But that grace is to empower you to be a strong man or woman. And to be a strong man or woman means that it's not for free. It will cost you everything. I said it will cost you. We think, oh, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven. You can go to heaven and go through hell all your life because you live life for you. But God says, I will empower you to give your life. Amen. God wants you and is waiting to say, God, here's my life. I give it to you. I know that is a fearful thing because of so much that we went through and experiences that we've had. But God is saying, I've empowered you to give your life to me. And when we do, that's when we begin to grow and experience all that salvation has and is made available to us. Amen? Amen. If you allow grace, it will mature your thinking. I said this, number one, that in regards to grace, it will affect the way that you think. Remember, he said, when I was a child, I thought as a child. Number two, he said, when I was a child, I understood as a child. As we continue to mature and grow, our understanding will mature and develop. So therefore, grace will mature my thinking and it will produce understanding. Would you agree that you don't know what you don't know? Would you agree that God has designed it that somebody's going to help you know what you don't know? Well, that just really goes cross-grain in today's world. Don't tell me. You need somebody to tell you, right? I need somebody to tell me. You don't know what you don't know, but God's design is to help you learn from somebody else, to help you walk and live in this grace. God said this. He says, my thoughts and my ways are not your ways. They're higher. So that means if God's ways are higher and his thoughts are higher, then that means they're obtainable. But that also means that we have to grow in maturity of learning how God thinks. Learning how God does things, right? As I said, salvation is free, but it comes at a great cost. If you're going to experience everything and understand what salvation was available or what is available in salvation, it's going to take understanding. Notice what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for by grace, everybody say grace. For by grace, or for through God's empowerment, you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, for it is a gift of God. Grace will empower you. It will take faith, but faith always has corresponding actions. I know that there's this teaching of faith, and there is some accuracy in regards to grace. And that is that you don't have to earn God's favor. And what God has made available for you, made available for us, you don't have to work for. It's a free gift. But how many of you know it will take work, or it takes a concerted effort to develop your faith? People think, well, I just got faith. Oh, really? Well, when the doctor gives you a bad report, how's your faith going to work for you if you've never learned how to work it? Right? If you need some money and the bill collector standing at your door saying, we're going to take your house. If you've never believed God or used your faith to believe God, it's going to be real hard for you to believe God in the moment when everything's crashing down and falling around you, right? So we have to learn how to exercise our faith. So faith will have corresponding actions. What is the corresponding actions that will empower grace to work with me or for me? Notice what he says here again. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. So grace will change my thinking. When I was a child, I understood as a child. So grace will help my understanding or give me wisdom. Number three, he said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Or in other words, grace will empower me to speak correctly. I said, grace will empower me to speak correctly. Where grace empowers life change, it will be changed through the words in which we speak. We can gain understanding. Yes, thoughts will come to challenge that. The moment, in fact, let me just ask you the question. How many of you have ever discovered that God wants you to live a better life and you go to do so, and then it just seems like the moment you step out on faith, all hell breaks loose? Well, why? Because wisdom or understanding that comes, the enemy is going to immediately challenge your faith, right? And so when that challenge comes, what do we do in response? We have to answer the challenge. So we'll either say, well, I guess that didn't work. I guess God left me and forsake me. Forsake me or forsook me? Is that forsook? He forsook me. Right? Or we say, wait a minute. I don't care what it looks like. This is a lie from the pit of hell. And God, your word does not change. And so therefore, I'm going to agree with what you say. And therefore, I'm going to allow that to be what's coming out of my mouth. And if you said it, that settles it. It's a done deal. Amen. We have to allow it to change, or grace will change the way that we speak. But as I said, thoughts will come. When thoughts come, what will they do? They will contradict. They will criticize. They will even challenge your understanding concerning those matters, right? And if we're not careful, what does that do? It creates a countenance of negativity. It creates a countenance or thinking of I'm the victim. It causes me to feel defeated. Again, it brings impoverished thinking. It brings critical thinking. Now, I hope this is coming right to your front door, because this is everybody. This is me. Even as I was preparing for this, I thought, I hope my wife doesn't hear this message, because I know she's going to come back and preach it at me and say, I just heard a preacher say, you know what I mean? So as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. Because there is a grace that we can lean into. It will change our thinking, our understanding, and our speaking. But there will be things that will come to challenge that. And what ends up happening is that we digress or retreat to a place of being critical, of being defeated in our thinking. And you can become accustomed to a position of defeat and a position of negativity. And if you'll stay in that place too long, what ends up happening is that you become a critic on everything. Remember, I said it's the words in which you say. And so what ends up happening is that we criticize everything else or everything around us. Our church, our workplace, family, husband, wife, children. Why do we start becoming critical? It's because grace is calling us up to a higher place. But there's a frustration that's going on the inside. And therefore, if my mind is not renewed and I don't correct the way that I speak, I'll revert to the way that I used to think, because thoughts will come to challenge this new grace. And then my mouth will hook up negatively. Amen? Now let me just, again, I don't know you. That's why I said, you know, glad my wife's not here and she's not in the service right now. But you can be critical on everybody around you. You can be a gossip. You can be hard. And how many of you know that's not easy to live with? And it's not fun to be around. Right? And you say, well, I don't like being this way. I don't choose to be this way. Well, what do you do? You give place to it. And over time, it's the environment and the scenery that we create. But here's the reality. The reality is that we're critical on everybody around us. everything that we're involved with. The real thing is that we're critical on ourselves. You're critical and hard on you. You beat yourself up a lot of times. And so the reason that you're so hard on everybody else is because you've been so hard on you and you haven't been able to change. So it's easier to try to make somebody else change or to conform or to look different because I'm just not doing it. And I'm miserable and frustrated in me. How many of you know that even though we sit here in adult bodies, we're just kids on the inside? That's one thing that I've learned in all these years of ministry. We can get wrinkles on our face, gray in our hair, but internally, we're still kids. We're still kids with all of our insecurities, all of our challenges, and all the things that we've ever dealt with in life is buried beneath. And it becomes this outward expression. And God says, I've created a greater quality of life. You don't have to be hard to be with. You don't have to be hard to live with. You don't have to be hard on yourself. Because what I did erased the past, gave you a clean slate, and therefore there is an empowerment of grace for a brand new day, to live a new way. And so I want to challenge you here today. If the inner kid resonates with what I was just talking about, I want you to just yield to the grace that's available. Stand up with me, will you? God wants to change our thinking, change our understanding, change our conversation. He doesn't want us to be critical. He wants us to be empowering because of the empowerment in us. That's how we're going to move forward as a church. That's how we're going to move forward as a family. That's how your marriage is going to move forward. Because everything that I just talked about, it all comes down to this. The empowerment that God made available is for us to receive God's love and to give God's love. Amen. How come churches stay small year after year after year? It's because we have been a church full of, and I'm not saying our church, I'm saying church has been a group of people that have beat ourselves up and beat everyone up around us and said, you know, you got to measure up. No, it's time to yield to the grace of God and love one another and empower them to be all that God's called them to be, because we're living in the last of the last days, and it's time to run. It's time to be set free and not be weighed down by all the shackles, the past, the turmoil and the nightmares of what was. The grace of God is calling us up to go higher and to experience more and to experience the quality of life. Are you ready to experience a new quality of life walking with Him? Because it's available. I don't know about you. I'll walk with you or I'll walk by myself. But I'm going up. I'm yielding to a greater grace. Because listen, I've lived this Christian life long enough with a frown on my face. You know what I mean? It's just like, you're a Christian? Yeah, I've been fighting in the battlegrounds for all these years. Oh, glory to God, and soon I'm going to go home. Now listen, I'm putting a smile on my face. Because this battle that we fight, it's already been won. I just have to yield to the grace. Amen? I hope that did something for you. I hope that you're purposing to yield to the grace that's on us, because it's here. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that, Lord, we are taking a turn, yielding to this new place of grace. being empowered to do what you've called us to do. Because Genesee Valley Church, not as a building, but Genesee Valley Church as a people, have been called for such a time as this. God, you have called us to do great exploits. You have called us to reach families and young people. You have called us to build your church. And so, God, with your grace, we will do just that. And God, this race that we're running, it will be fun. It will be a delight. It will be light and easy because it's not in the arm of the flesh or in our power or our might, but it's in the might of you. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. We all said, amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.